welcome to Hot Weekly.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we come at you this week two very, very tired puppies. I think that's putting it very gently.
Yes, as I'm sure many of you are.
I'm sure we're all tired. In fact, I suspect many of you will be listening to this podcast from a bed as a puddle of human goo. Trying to recover from the season that was.
Well, and also, you know, you've got the post-Halloween depression going on for a lot of people.
Yes, we've been out today tearing down our yard display, significant portions of it. That's always sad.
Right.
But yes, we are coming at you this week, post-season, and we're going to talk about our season a little bit. We don't really have show notes or anything this go around.
Right.
We're just going to sit here and banter for a bit about our season, how it went, what we did right, what we did wrong, what we need to improve, what we, you know, blah, 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 that type of stuff.
Yep.
No real plan, no real structure for this one. Sorry in advance. But on that note, do take a moment and like us on Facebook and Twitter. We are at Haunt Weekly on Facebook, Haunt Weekly on Twitter. We're at hauntweekly.com. That's also where you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play Store, Stitcher, all the fine play. I don't think you can subscribe to us on Amazon. I just realized that. Also, check out our YouTube channel at tinyurl.com/hauntweekly. We'll take you straight to our YouTube channel. Subscribe to us there. We have lists. We have things categorized and organized there in a way we cannot do with a regular podcast feed. So check it out.
Right.
Also, on that note, thank you, everyone, for a great episode 100. We had a blast.
Yes.
We loved doing it live. It seemed to go really well. The tech seemed to cooperate with us.
Well, there were some issues for users with the mobile application, but the desktop application seemed to work well.
We're going to try to iron that out any way we can. It's really up to YouTube, honestly. We can only do so much, but we did appreciate everyone who joined us and the questions we got beforehand. We really enjoyed doing it live.
Right.
And so we're thinking about making that like a monthly occurrence.
Possibly.
Like maybe like the even ones that aren't divisible by four. This is getting to be mappy.
Yeah.
But like those at once a month or so do a live episode.
Right.
Maybe once every 2 months or so. But no, we definitely want to do that again. That was a lot of fun. And it just seemed like a great way to pull together an episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. Other news for us, real fast, before we jump right into the conference reminders. We have done the 360 recording of The Haunt.
Right.
It is a little dark. I'm not super thrilled with the lighting in it, because 360 camera, as good as it is, doesn't pull in a lot of light. But you can see what's going on. You can see what we're about and see some of the scenes. It's a short 1 minute walkthrough. As I said, we're a small haunt.
Right. And, you know, There were some things worked out later that, you know, aren't in the first video, but that's okay.
Yeah, regardless, the point remains, what we're going to be doing is posting that on to, it's already uploaded to YouTube, we've tested it, it works. We're going to make that video public as we publish this episode, and I'll include a link to it in the description.
Yeah.
I've also got some other 360 photos of not just the yard display, we published those previously, but 360 photos of our rooms in the daylight.
Right.
That I'm going to share as soon as practical, probably on our Facebook page. Facebook seems to have the easiest time dealing with the photos.
Right.
But yeah, all in all, people have asked what our haunt is like, what we're about. Well, we're sharing.
Yes.
Doing our best. And we've also got photos taken by our, you know, I don't want to call him a resident photographer. That's technically you, but
yeah,
the photographer on staff, not the photographer that runs it.
Yeah,
how's that?
The photographer who actually has time to sit down and take pictures while I'm doing last minute stuff.
We have been historically absolutely horrible.
Yes.
About getting photos of our stuff.
Yeah.
I realized as we tore out the diner sequence last year, we didn't have any good photos of it.
Yeah, that was sad.
That was sad. But this year, we will not have that problem. We have excellent photos of everything.
Yes.
So that is great.
Well, and I'll probably go in and take some photos of just the sets.
Yes.
Because we have photos of the actors, but not photos of the sets right now.
Yeah, thanks to an errant SD card wipe.
Yeah.
We're not going to get into that, though. But on that note, everyone, conference reminder time. Crystal, will you do the honors?
Sure. Coming up very soon, November 9th through 11th.
That's this weekend, peoples. This weekend.
Yep. Legendary Haunt Tour in Philadelphia, PA. Crown Plaza, Philadelphia, touring Field of Screams, Bates Motel and Haunted Hayride, and Reaper's Revenge. Legendary Haunt Tour with 2Ts.com for more info.
All right. After that, in January, the 12th to the 15th, it's HauntCon / Halloween and Party Expo. The two conferences have merged. It'll be right here in New Orleans, Louisiana, the Ernst and Morial Convention Center. I screwed it up this time. Oh, God, it's been a long week. Convention Center, HauntCon.com to learn more. We will definitely be going. I'm hoping that I will be speaking at it.
Right.
If not, I will still be in attendance. But we definitely want to meet up with some of you guys. And if you want to see what we do firsthand, the 360 video is not enough.
Right.
We will invite, you know, people to come over and check us out during or immediately after the conference or sometime around it. We'll figure it out. And then maybe we'll stop and get drinks at a local pub or something like that and talk haunty stuff.
Yes.
That sounds like a lot of fun to me.
It does. And we've already contacted our actors. They know to be on
hand.
On alert. On alert that something may be happening.
Yes,
so.
They know.
All right. Then March 22nd through the 25th is Trans World's Halloween and Attraction Show. St. Louis, Missouri, America Center, HaaShow.com for more info.
HaaShow.com. It's yes. H-A-A show. I've never understood that.
No.
All right. After that, April 13th through the 15th in Portland, Oregon, it's the West Coast Haunters Convention, Doubletree Hotel in Portland, HauntersConvention.com to learn more.
Yes. And then May 18th through 20th.
One breath. Go.
Halloween Show and National Haunters Convention presents Halloween Boardwalk Empire. It's going to be in Atlantic City, New Jersey, May 18th through the 20th. As I said, Showboat Convention Center, HalloweenShow.com for more info.
All right. And finally on our list, it is the Midwest Haunters Convention, May 25th through 27th in Columbus, Ohio, the Greater Columbus Convention Center. Learn more at MidwestHauntersConvention.com.
All right.
So, the 2017 season for us is in the books and most haunts, I think, by the time this goes live. I know a lot of you guys are doing the flashlight nights or the lights out things or whatever. Some special events on the first weekend of November. When this goes live, those should be done. In fact, they should be done by the time we're recording, so we're recording late.
They could be, you know, still going on a Sunday night.
True.
But anyways, I doubt it, but somebody could be.
But the point remains, I hope your season went absolutely well. I hope it was safe. If you are doing it for profit, I hope it was profitable. And that everyone got lots of scares and was super duper busy.
Yeah.
And I've got to say, talking to people locally, I've heard from pretty much every haunted house,
right?
I think, in the area. Everyone says business has been very, very good this year.
Yes.
That includes us.
Yes. Record-breaking for...
Record-smashing year.
Yes.
I mean, because we've always...
Not only for us, though, but for people that we've talked to, it's been record-breaking.
Yeah, it really has. I think we owe a lot of this due to the fact that we've had some major horror releases this year. It, obviously, was a huge, huge deal.
Yeah.
But also Get Out.
Right.
This was a good year for horror films.
Yes.
And it seems like good years for horror films coincide to good years for haunted houses.
Yeah. Well, and it makes new haunted house patrons.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and it renews interest in haunted houses in general, I think. I know there were a couple of haunters who were like, yeah, we're getting rid of the clowns this year.
Yeah.
And then it happened, and I, God damn it, gotta put clowns back in.
Gotta go all in.
All in on the clowns.
Yeah.
But it seems like it has been an absolutely amazing year. I know all the haunts that we spoke with had either smashed records or were damn near breaking them.
Right.
Like, goddamn near breaking them. Like, I know one haunt was, like, so close it pained us to hear how close they were breaking it one night. But then again, we were speaking to them before Halloween, so it's very likely they broke it since.
Yeah, that was a possible record-breaking one night. I'm sure it's been a really good season.
Yeah, it's been an amazing season, it seems like, for everyone I've spoken to. The only one haunt locally I heard of had their attendance declined this year. And I don't know what the deal with that one is. They definitely deserve all the traffic they can get.
Mm.
The fire department.
Oh, okay.
They're the only ones I've heard of that had any issues.
Yeah.
But all in all, record-breaking year, it seems like. And I am super happy. I'm a little nervous about our numbers.
Yeah.
Because we're home haunters, as we said, but we've always tried to do controlled growth.
Right.
We've always tried to thread the line with promotion.
Yeah.
Where we don't, we're busy, but we don't jam up the neighborhood. We don't have an hour wait to get in.
Right.
And all that jazz. We really try to thread that line. And it's always been this deal of we print a certain amount of flyers. We promote in these particular venues.
Right.
And other than that, we just really rely on word of mouth. We don't go all in on promotion. We probably could really go crazy with promotion and easily smash these records.
Yeah, we didn't even put out all of our flyers this year or hit some of the places we normally would.
Yeah, we didn't do like a lot of the local bars and restaurants we usually leave flyers at. We didn't this year. We just didn't have time.
Yeah.
Because Hurricane Nate, which we'll get to in a minute, messed up a lot for us early in season.
Right. It doesn't seem like it should have because it was really it was a non-event, but...
But, and we'll explain the reasons what happened in a minute. But yeah, we didn't do a lot of the promotion we normally did, so we did less, actually.
Right.
And we were up 30%.
Yeah.
Last season, the entirety of the season, we did 604 people.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good. It's three nights. Most of them Halloween night. I think it was 450 Halloween night-ish.
Three nights, 9 hours.
9 hours time. Yeah, we do very short runs here. We're talking 9 hours of total haunt time.
Yeah.
We had 600 plus people. Then, let's see, this year we had 786 on the total season, including 512 on the 3 hours that made up Halloween night.
Yeah.
That is insane considering we have a haunt that only takes one group at a time.
Right.
It takes...
Max of four people.
A max of four people per group, and it takes about... Most groups take about a minute to a minute and a half to get through.
Yeah. Some of them, like...
Some of them are much faster.
Yes.
Some of them are much slower.
Yes.
We're talking about the average, the ones that are ambulatory the whole way through.
That's
about the time frame.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was crazy. I mean, and the thing about it is this. I sat down years ago, and I figured out our theoretical maximum throughput.
Right.
And I calculated every group takes about a minute. There's about a minute and 15 between groups exiting.
Yeah.
That's in the ideal pace. And that includes the little bit of time where the haunt's empty, where you're queuing up a group and putting them in, and one group snaking through. The result of that was we had a maximum throughput of about 200 per hour.
Yeah.
It was like 192, but I said 200 because it just felt better.
Yeah.
200. And we did 512 over the course of 3 hours. That puts us at over 85%. Our theoretical max throughput.
Yeah.
That is insanity.
It felt like that was the maximum we could do.
And that's just the theoretical max throughput. That means every group is a group of four.
Right.
Every group goes through at the exact ideal speed.
Yeah.
Nobody gets hung up. Nothing breaks. There's no slowdowns, no stoppages.
Right.
And we all know theoretical max never happens.
Yeah.
It's just impossible because... you're going to have groups of three. You're going to have groups of two. You're going to have groups of one. You're going to have less than ideal group sizes. You're going to have people that get stuck in your haunt. You're going to have, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Things happen. So you never get, usually most haunts never get within 75% of that ideal. If you're doing above 50%, you're doing pretty good usually.
Yeah.
So we actually beat 85%, and that unfortunately means from a throughput standpoint, we have no room to grow without making some significant changes.
Right.
Which is one of the first things we have to look at going into the new season, is there a way we could expand our throughput a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Because the line time was not that bad, honestly, this year.
No.
We were cranking them through, and we had front queue actors doing their thing.
Right.
But yeah, it was crazy. It's insane. We cannot. We were literally just group from 7:05 a.m. p.m. when we opened.
Right.
7:05 p.m. Not a.m. Jesus Christ.
No, that would be crazy.
7:05 p.m. until 9:55 p.m.
Yeah.
We were literally group, line. And right. it was the weirdest goddamn thing I've ever seen in my life, because we finally started making progress on the line at about 9:30.
Yeah.
Where the line was actively contracting. And I'm like, okay, let's keep it going. Let's keep this roll going.
Yeah.
See if we can give ourselves a break, you know, give ourselves a rest in place moment, right?
Right.
And then at exactly 9:55, I look up, I'm running the queue, I'm in front of house, and the tunnel's empty.
Yeah.
It's empty. And I'm like, it's 9:55, the tunnel's empty, we're shutting it down now, we're killing it 5 minutes early. And then one other person showed up.
Yes. Then everybody had to get back in place.
Just for a minute, just for one more person. But you know what? It was kind of nice to have a designated, you are the last person.
Yes.
So that was a lot of fun. And I actually told our 605th visitor that you are the record breaker.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Now go to the damn, now get in there. Oh, man. But yeah, it was absolutely bananas.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely bananas. Tell me what it was like inside the Haunt. I know we've had some conversations, but tell me how it was working inside.
It was crazy busy. We had a couple of things break. We had a new drop panel design that we were testing this year. Obviously, we didn't test it quite enough because we had a new actor every night in there.
Yeah, a new actor every night.
Yeah.
The one who was working, his name is Julius, who was working at that last night, was incredibly strong.
He's a football player.
Yeah, and it shows.
Yeah.
Dear God, he can power that thing, and apparently he can power it hard enough to break screws in half.
Yeah, yeah, that was pretty impressive, so I had to do a quick, you know...
Repair
on that during this long line that you just spoke of.
And that's one of the things about... You know, haunt season, when your haunt's open, we always talk about it on the show, is where are your toolboxes?
Right.
If something breaks and you have to do a hot fix, you don't want to be scrambling for your drill.
Oh, no.
And your 1.5-inch screws.
No, I double-check my emergency kit every night before we open, just to make sure I've got everything close at hand.
It's a drill, screws, stapler, full of staples.
Staple gun, yeah.
Staple gun, snips.
Yep.
Essentials like that have to be super
zip
close. All the zip ties. If all the zip ties in the world stopped functioning at once, how screwed would our haunt be?
Fairly.
Like every cable tie, every zip tie stopped working at once, it'd be over. It'd be just chaos in the haunt industry, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Thank God that won't actually happen.
No.
But yeah, it was stressful. It was busy.
Yeah.
But... other than that the little problem with the drop panel, and we had one cover get torn down about toward the end of the night.
Right.
Other than those two things, we had surprisingly little break. Like, I'm surprised our gloves did not break.
Yeah.
Like, we had a scene, we called it the containment area.
Right.
Where it was designed to look like you were inside one of those isolation units with the gloves reaching in.
Yeah.
And we wanted people to think that the gloves were actually, you know, humans. What we did is we got cheap, like dollar store plastic hands.
Right.
These blasting gloves. You can find them at a Home Depot or a Harbor Freight.
Yeah.
And there's no reason to get the quality ones for this.
No.
And we shoved the little hand in the glove so the fingertips are filled out. And we filled out the rest of the glove with just grocery store bags.
Yeah.
And then we just literally used a toilet spacer ring, spray painted black.
Yep.
And stapled it to the wall. And I am surprised they held, because they were basically held in place by 1/2-inch screws, spit, and the wishes of small children. I mean, that's about the only thing keeping it in place. And they, all 6 of them, held.
Yeah.
And they were getting hit and touched. And people were interacting with them and swearing that they were being grabbed.
Yeah. They weren't being grabbed.
Yeah, well, that's what I gotta say, though. Those Winn-Dixie bags got in mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they're not grabbing you, kid. No. I'm sorry. They're literally inert. But yeah, I've been pulling down the main project we've been having since haunt season, other than teardown, has been we've been pulling down the security camera footage.
Right.
And watching it and going through it, and wow. The scares we got are
they're amusing.
They are amusing. I think what we're going to do on the Bernie Baxter page, the Huntrell Haunt page, is do like a video a week, maybe like Wednesday or something like that.
Yeah.
Do a short scare video.
Yeah.
Like a little 10-15 second thing or something like that.
Yeah.
I think
we'll
that
see.
We'll see. I'd like to have something on that. We don't do enough on that page year round.
Right.
We need to get out of that habit. We have a lot of great photos this year we can share. And we've got all these videos I think we should definitely be sharing with the world.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we had no incidents.
No.
No problems. Nobody caused any issues. No intentional destruction of property.
No.
Which happened a couple of times. Yeah, all in all, it was a very, very successful season. I really am blown away by how well it went.
Yeah.
Considering the sheer volume of humanity we took in.
Yes. And especially considering also that we had a lot of what we came to call fainting goats.
Oh, God, the fainters, yes.
The fainting goats in the haunt were numerous this year. It's like at least, I don't know, 6 to 12 groups had people who would just go to the floor every time they get scared. Even if it was the same scare popping to try to get them to move, they would go to the floor again. So
yeah. Scary. And that's one of the things about haunt that you learn when you run one versus when you just act in one.
Right.
Is there is no amount of planning.
No.
No amount of wisdom you can bring to the table to completely and totally predict how people are going to react.
No.
Because, we do things like we scare forward, we build our scares with boo holes so actors have retreat zones.
Right.
We do all these things super duper smart.
Mm-hmm.
As smart as we can. And then you hit people like the fainting goats that you just described, where it's like every time something happens, no matter how insignificant,
yeah.
it's over. Like, I watched this video today of a tiny little girl trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
And they had a candy dish and had one of those, like dancing Santas, but a witch animatronic on the porch. And the little girl gets up and gets close to the candy and starts reaching out for it. And the animatronic just does its little shuffle. Not much, just a little cute little shuffle. And the little girl freaks out, turns around, takes her pumpkin, spikes it like a football, and walks off. Like, that's it. I'm done with Halloween. It's over. We have had enough of this Halloween stuff.
Yeah.
But he can't predict how people are going to react. And there's nothing. All you can do is overbuild everything and assume and hope for the best, really.
Right. Make sure there's no sharp objects, sharp pointy bits. Yeah,
pool noodles are your friend.
Yes.
Yes, we are constantly cutting up pool noodles to soften edges.
Yep.
And glad we did this here on a couple of places.
Yeah.
We had a couple of spots where without that, we might have had injuries.
Yeah, there was a shelf in particular that was right across from a scare that got hit quite often.
And, well, you know, when we looked at the original placement of that scare and where that shelf was going,
right.
It did not actually occur to us that people would go that direction into it.
Well,
That was one of the things. The scare was technically significantly behind the shelf.
Yeah. Yeah, or ahead of it as you're walking through.
Yeah, as you're walking through. So there should have been no reason for anyone to go that direction.
Right.
But watch the footage. They sure as hell did.
Yep.
They sure did. So, I don't know. It's always bizarre. It really was very flattering this year, though, for us. And I think one of the greater rewards for us is this was our 12th year.
Right.
Of doing this. And people on like Facebook and Nextdoor and elsewhere were just saying amazingly sweet things about us and what we do, saying that we are an area tradition now, apparently. Never stop doing what you're doing. You're a true neighborhood tradition type thing. And it's so sweet and so touching. And yet I look at those numbers and I'm like, I don't know if we can be here and doing this much longer in this place.
Right. I mean,
we did our whole episode on why we don't go pro. We have our damn good reasons.
Right. But, you know, we may just outgrow ourselves and not have a choice in going pro.
We may literally have a gun to our head on this one.
Yeah.
Because we cannot do much more throughput with the current system. We can probably make some tweaks and some adjustments and improve our throughput a little bit.
Yeah, well, I think that the main thing that we might want to look at doing is having a separate time of day on Halloween
yeah.
for the little trick-or-treaters.
I agree with that.
because we can tone it down. We can get all of the little ones through early.
Yeah, well, if we did it from like 5 to 7.
Yeah.
And just a relatively scareless haunt.
Yeah.
Maybe have a couple of actors who volunteer to work those extra hours, come over and do it, but not do the full show.
Right.
And then run the main, you know, something like that could work.
Mm-hmm.
Because, but yeah, Halloween, you're right, it's rough when we get the little kids, and that's one of the things that does hurt our throughput, is dealing with the small children.
Right.
And the one thing I get reminded of it every year is how terrible parents are.
Yes, they are. They're not.
Parents, nice. Some of y'all are messed up.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, some of y'all need your heads checked.
Yeah.
Because that ain't right, man. That ain't, what you do to your kids at haunted houses ain't right.
Yeah. Well, and it's bad because, you know, I instructed our mad scientist to tell groups that they would see them later, and he turned it into check under your beds because I'll be there. So there's some kids that are going to be freaking out for a while, probably.
Dave is the master of taking the football and running with it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't stop at the end zone either. He keeps going to the next stadium and runs to that one too. He is not someone that necessarily knows when to stop.
No.
But he's a damn good mad scientist. I got to give him that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think watching the security camera footage, I have not pulled the footage down from the wardrobe room.
Right.
And I'm very, very excited to look at that.
Yeah, I've looked at some of the footage, and it worked fairly well. I think our shadow was more effective than the clothes sometimes.
Oh, obviously, because they're two very different types of scares. Because it was basically what we did in the wardrobe room was this was supposed to be the exit room. It's really the behind the scenes area for the film.
Right.
One of the first times ever, we just painted all the walls jet black.
Yep.
And put clothes on.
Yeah.
Absolutely every surface you could find. It looked like a closet, except you weren't going through the clothes. It was you were surrounded by them. And there were two scares in the room. The first scare was we had rigged like 3 or 4 of the items. I can't remember how many it was.
Yeah.
On a pole that would literally drop down on you, basically. It'd swing in from the side and collapse onto you.
Yeah, it's on pulleys. It swings over the crowd.
And all you're being touched by is like dresses and shirts and things.
It's lightweight clothing.
It's all lightweight stuff, and none of it was sharp edges or anything.
Nope.
But so that was one. But the other one that kind of was the impromptu, hey, we could try this as well.
Mm-hmm.
Was we got a cute little girl.
Yeah.
Put her in a black morph suit.
She showed up in a black morph suit.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we didn't put her in anything, but she showed up in a black morph suit. So we put like a dress.
Yeah.
Over the suit and saw her get against the wall.
Yep.
And she looks just like every other item of clothes hanging on that wall.
Yep.
And then that one starts moving.
Yes. And suddenly she's beside you. And then people freak out.
Yes, and it works. It was so beautiful.
Yep.
Simple skiers really are the best.
Yep.
But yeah, it was such a great... That room, I thought, was really, really well done and well planned.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very, very happy with it. Even if it was like from a decoration standpoint, one of the easiest...
Yeah.
Like, compare the work we did on that room to what we did in the library, decoration-wise. And
I think the mad scientist took the longest.
I agree.
Because of the rock walls that had to be painted.
And then, of course, immediately after Halloween, I see the fucking velvet wall hangings we could have used. I sent you the link to it on Facebook.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen it yet.
Those giant 8-foot wall hangings that look like rugs.
Oh, right. Yeah.
They might have worked. I don't know if they would have worked or not, but they're so cheap, I probably should have just bought some and seen if they could...
We might get them for later.
They can be, if they can be fireproofed, I think they could work.
Well, yeah.
That's the only question is fireproofing for me.
Right.
But yeah, it was great. Now, we mentioned earlier Hurricane Nate screwing us over pretty bad. Even though it was a complete non-event in New Orleans.
Right.
And what happened is Hurricane Nate was going to hit us the weekend we were going to Atlanta.
Right.
That first weekend in October, full weekend in October.
Mm-hmm.
And the plan we had was we worked like dogs to get the first room in the haunt, the library sequence, finished.
Yes.
Completely done and camera ready.
Yep.
And then what we were going to do is we were going to go to Atlanta, and then we were going to come back. We were going to shoot for Garbage Horror,
right,
the reviews, in that room, and basically spend a day or two doing that, then get back to work on Haunt.
Yep.
Well, Nate forced us to take down about 80% of our yard display.
Yeah.
And when we did that, it had to be stored, and the only place we had storage, that first room.
That was finished. That because was finished. It was cleaned out.
It was cleaned out. So. It was completely open.
Yeah.
So the result of that was we get back from Atlanta, Nate's a non-event, but then we spend the next 2 days putting our yard display back up.
Right.
And then when we get done with that, that room is no longer ready.
Yeah.
It's in tatters again. And unfortunately, we didn't actually get it back to ready like until a week before we opened.
Yeah. So, not fully. So we didn't get to do the reviews. We'll be doing them soon.
Yeah, we're going to be doing them probably over the next couple of nights, getting those edited and uploaded. So if you are following us on Garbage Horror and like the Haunt reviews, we'll have those going up later this month, basically. I think over the course of the month of November.
Right.
We'll be putting them up. I know it's late. I know it's too late to do any good for the 2017 season. But, hey, yeah. It's the best we can do this go-around. Just cause, screw you, Nate.
Yeah.
Just screw you. Threw everything in the chaos.
Yeah, it did.
Which, like I said, it's hilarious because, as you noted, it was a total non-event in the city.
Oh, right.
I mean, we're there in Atlanta looking at the security camera footage.
Yeah.
Because we had, at that time, we had a security camera looking at the overhang of the house that caught the entire light display, what we had left out.
Right.
Basically, what we left out was the stake lights and the pumpkin tunnel.
And skeletons.
And skeletons that were all thoroughly zip-tied in place.
Yeah.
And we were watching it, and it, there was some wind, but nothing moved.
No.
At all.
Wasn't major.
I don't think our ringmaster could have survived even the wind we got, but
no.
That's gonna be redone completely next year because that
Yeah,
I've developed a new rule for yard decorations. Everything either has to be steel poles or it has to be 2x4s or stronger.
Okay.
Cuz there's not the 2x2 construction that was lightweight and easy to move. But it handled wind about as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the main problem with it was that the frame for them had been left outside over the year. And so the wood was not as strong as it was originally.
Yeah, that's also true. But still, 2x4s will just hold up better and work better for us. But I got to say, the greatest discovery for the yard display this year, and this is, I'm going to propose this to any haunter.
Yeah.
out there. Big Lots.
Yeah.
Right before Halloween season, usually, so it's, we're talking like August, September-ish.
Yeah.
More September than August.
Yeah.
They have these greenhouses, these small, like, 8x8 greenhouses. They're not very big.
Yeah, I think they're 10x6.
Whatever they are, they're not big. But they're greenhouses, and they come with a little plastic sheet and shelves, and basically...
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. But they go on sale like 75 to 80% off.
Yeah.
You can get this supposedly $150 greenhouse for like $30 or $40 sometimes.
I think we paid $15 for ours.
I know. And, well, we paid different prices for different ones because they kept getting cheaper and we kept buying more.
We paid
more.
Like $25 for one and $15 for the next time.
Exactly.
The other two.
And then I think they basically just threw them at us the last time. I'm like, hey, it's them. Give them the greenhouses.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we ended up, I think we owned like 5 of them. Here's the thing. What you're going to do is you're going to get it home, you're going to open it up, you're going to take the instructions, and throw them right in the trash.
Yeah.
Because you're not building a goddamn greenhouse.
No.
What you have is a giant erector set.
Yeah.
That you can use for anything.
Yep.
We need to support skeletons standing in your yard.
Yep.
Use the green poles.
Yep.
They're a good color. They're that dark green. They blend in with your yard.
Right.
They're dark green / black, so they blend in perfectly.
They're thinner than a skeleton's leg.
So, yep. And they can be staked trivially into the ground. They're just perfect. And we literally have 2 or 3 giant tubs filled with just these pieces.
Yeah.
We've just decided to mix and mingle them together because...
Well, because last year we built the greenhouses.
Like dumbasses.
And then... we lost the instructions and also the one that we had left intact as a means to look at. And so then we just, you know, built our own.
Yeah. And basically what we said is, well, we just take these pieces. We build what we want.
Yeah, exactly. We were able to get a longer tunnel out of it.
Yeah, we made a pumpkin tunnel that was about 30 feet.
Yeah, about 30 feet long. Had over 50 pumpkins in it.
Yeah.
Which I know doesn't sound like a lot to people who do the big pumpkin things, but... It's a lot for a little area.
What was essentially just a tiny part of our display.
Yeah.
It was a lot of pumpkins.
Yeah.
We were able to use it, like I said, to stake skeletons and position them.
Right.
Including our skeleton horse.
Yes.
Was supported by it. Yeah, they are so useful for literally everything.
Yeah.
And like I said, if they go on sale again, if I see them ever in Big Lots on sale... I'm snapping up more because those pieces are just so damned useful.
Yeah.
Oh, and the other really good thing about them is they're lightweight pieces.
Yeah.
So they don't actually weigh that much.
No.
Which when you're lugging around a giant Tupperware container filled with them, yeah. You'll be grateful for.
Yeah.
You'll be very flipping grateful for that. So that's the big lesson for us from on the outside this year was those poles and the elbow pieces that connect them
right.
are just useful.
Yeah, I think that the only real lesson that I want to look at for inside is that we did have more open spaces this year, which allowed people to run. And I thought we had made the path crooked enough to where they wouldn't be able to just dart.
We did some experimentation this year. We really like haunts that do a lot of prop-based layout.
Right.
And so we were trying to shift more to it.
Right.
And it does make the rooms feel more open.
Yeah.
And like last year with the diner sequence.
Yeah.
It was very open feeling.
Right.
But the pathway was very narrow.
Right.
You didn't really have much more than the 36 inches to roam around in.
Yeah.
And I think what we did this year was we didn't use the props... enough to constrict the layout. I think that was our big mistake.
Yeah.
But we instead used actors to try and do the slowdown, but that is of limited use.
Yeah.
Because, and take it from me, is when some of these groups get a full head of steam, you don't want to be in front of them.
No. No, not at all.
I have had that misfortune.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't have quite the running problem we've had previously.
Yeah.
It wasn't anywhere near like what we had like 5 years ago.
Right.
Where we had people literally bolting full head of steam out the entrance of the haunt.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like the first or second year. And then we learned not to do that.
Yeah. I do think we could stand to make the path more crooked.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe one thing we need to do is, because we're really big on trying to maximize what we have with our space. We're very limited space.
Yeah.
So, it's like, we can squeeze out 4 rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And we squeeze out 4 rooms and 1 lengthy hallway. We have basically 5 zones.
Yeah.
In, like I said, between 500 and 600 square feet.
Yeah.
Not much space. We're talking 10 by 10 rooms.
Yeah.
But what I think maybe we should do next year is sacrifice one of the rooms to put in hallways and dividers for the rooms.
Okay, we'll have to talk about it and show me what you're talking about.
Yeah, but that would add more ziggy zags and reduce running.
Yeah.
And I'll show you what I mean later on. But yeah, my thought there is that's one thing that we can do to help slow that problem down and add some separation. But it means sacrificing one of the rooms.
Right.
But it would perhaps help with pacing a little better. Because like I said, we do try to cram as much as we can into that garage.
Yeah, we do.
It's not a very big garage, but dear God, does it feel a lot bigger when you're going through it as a haunt.
Oh, yeah. Multiple times. It's, you know, it's not over yet. It's still going.
Well, the funniest ones to me that say that, and you hear it on the security camera footage, people will hit that back hallway.
Yeah.
And they'll say, it's not over yet.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, you have been going one direction this whole time. And that direction has been away from the entrance.
Yes.
So, what on earth made you think it'd be over in the next room?
Right. Yeah.
You were literally at the furthest point from over.
Yeah.
You know?
Doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. It's like, people lose all direction in haunts in ways that it's hard to explain. Even small ones. Because you would think, like with our haunt, people would be able to go, okay, then I'm going to snake around this way and then I'm coming back out. Because it's not like those haunts like 5,000, 10,000 or whatever square feet where right. you can throw in so many twists and turns, everybody loses sight of where they're at.
Yeah.
And also you have the issue of the exit is often somewhere very different than the entrance, so you don't know where right. the exit is. You literally are going blind. With ours, you can see the entrance and the exit. They are side by side. So you know that you're going to exit right around the same time when you get to roughly the same place you entered.
Right.
That's obvious.
Yeah.
You should know this. This is all figured out. And yet people, like you said, they get halfway into it and like, it's not over yet. No.
Yeah.
Where is your spatial awareness?
Well, you know, it's because we do such a good job immersing them in the scenes that they completely forget them.
I do think that actually is some of it. I do think we do a very good job with that.
Yeah.
And one thing I will say is I've looked at some of the photos I could find of our previous years.
Yeah.
Our build quality...
Oh, yeah.
...has improved so much.
Oh, yeah. It's... Yeah. It's light years ahead of what we started with.
Yeah. I mean, proper distressing techniques,
yeah.
Better, you know, style, better use of, you know, bringing all the elements together in one play, finding stuff that fit.
Right.
Like there's nothing out of place in that library sequence.
No.
There's nothing out of place in the mad scientist room. There's nothing out of place in the expressionist room.
No.
Which I don't think anyone else got that we were going for German expressionism, but screw it, we did it
for... There were a few adults that looked kind of artsy. They might have gotten it.
Screw it. We did it for us. That room yeah. was just for us. We wanted our Nosferatu / Cabinet of Dr. Caligari room, and we're going to yeah. get it, goddammit.
Yeah.
We only get to do a film theme once, and we're gonna do something for us.
It's our choice.
It's our choice. Because, yeah, that was the thing. We started out with a brief, like, Egyptian sequence.
Right. That's the outside.
The outside area was like an Egyptian theme with like the tombs and the bones and the walnuts.
Basically,
stuff.
Our line actor wanted to be a mummy.
Yeah, so we said, okay, there's lots of good whole films that are based upon a mummy, so we'll work with that. And we did that. Then we did a library sequence, which I had intended to be from like the Hammer films from that era.
Yeah.
The stained, dark stained wood.
Yeah.
The dark red colors everywhere. The flickering lights.
Right.
Sort of like that, the 60s and 70s horror
yeah.
films. The early color, if you will, horror films. And then you went into the Mad Scientist sequence, which is obviously pulling from like the 40s and the Universal
right.
monster movies, where every one of them had to have a mad scientist, even if it didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Then it was the German Expressionist hallway. And then we went into what I was shooting for was like a 1980s disease flick or zombie flick.
Yeah.
Where you're trying to contain the disease.
Well, in that room, we had a lot of problems figuring out what we were going to do with it because we were supposed to go for futuristic.
Yeah.
But
like spaceship, yeah.
Yeah, but the things that we wanted to do, we just didn't have the time or the resources for.
Or the space, really.
Yeah.
Space was the biggest problem with that room.
Yeah.
That's the smallest room.
Yeah, because we wanted to do, like, the big tubes and things with experiments in them. And with
they're going to, like, the 80s alien movies now type things.
Well, and also back in time to the futuristic
true, things. True, like the Flash Gordon stuff, too. Yeah,
exactly. So, you know, that, but we just didn't, we weren't able to make that work.
And well, the problem is we couldn't have that stuff and have a good scare in the room.
Right.
If you want.
Well, and it was really expensive to buy the stuff to make it.
Yeah.
Because that was the other hurdle.
Yeah. This is a haunt built with 2x4 technology.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was frustrating too.
Yeah.
But then, of course, the wardrobe and then the exit.
Yep.
So it's 5 rooms. Well, 6 rooms if you count the entrance.
Yeah.
And all of them center on different things. By the way, the library ended up being, in my head, the Rocky Horror study.
Well, yeah.
Because we have a globe.
Well, I bought the globe from my work. Mm-hmm. to make it Rocky Horror. Because whenever we watch Rocky Horror, I'm like, you know, we should make our library reminiscent of Rocky Horror.
Yeah. And that, like I said, my personal original vision was more of that, like the Hammer films, but it ended up being totally Rocky Horror.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that. I'm totally down with that.
Good. Because that's what I had planned.
But I'm sure that someone that's not familiar with Rocky Horror is going to look at it and still get the...
Yes, you look at it, it's a library.
Yeah,
there are shelves, there are books. It's a library. If you get the
extra... By the
extra...
way, that reminds me, did you remember to turn off the globe?
Yes, the globe is off. I don't know who turned it off, but it's off.
Well, we all know it wasn't the criminologist.
Yes, I know. He always sleeps it on.
Bastard.
Mm-hmm.
But God, it was such a good season this go around. We've been celebrating, we've been enjoying and relishing it. If every haunt season was like this, there would never be any question about whether or not we're doing it again.
Yeah.
There would never be a moment's doubt whether we continue doing this for ourselves or doing it. Because we're going to haunt.
Yeah.
That's not a question.
Right.
The question is, do we do our haunt? Do we team up with someone else? You know, what do we do? How do we haunt? Where do we haunt? And why do we haunt?
Yeah.
Are the questions. There's no doubt we're going to do it. Do something. But do we do this? But the years like this reaffirm why we went the path we did.
Yeah.
I am, like I said, like we said at the top of the hour, I'm silly nervous about next year.
Yeah. I am too.
Like I said, we've done a very good job on controlled growth.
Yeah.
We have really worked on that and really tried to make it so that we're not, you know, slamming the neighborhood with thousands of people that we can't serve.
Right.
That's always been a big thing for us.
Yeah, because a lot of the neighborhood doesn't participate in Halloween festivities.
Not really, no.
Yeah. There are a few houses to go trick-or-treating, but really we're it.
Yeah, and honestly, people would ask me, dude, can we go trick-or-treating in your neighborhood? I'm like, you're free too, but it's a suburban neighborhood where only a small percentage seem to really participate.
Right. And I mean, some of our neighbors actually stopped doing Halloween whenever we started getting hundreds of people.
Yeah, and I don't blame them.
No.
They still decorate, they still celebrate, but yeah, they just can't give out candy, and I do understand that.
Yeah.
Believe me, I do. Other things I want to work on for next year...
Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking about this. For front of house, I want to get more trash cans. We tried to find those cardboard trash cans.
Yeah.
And we were unable to.
Right.
But I want to get lots of those with liners, and I actually want to put them in front of the houses up and down the street.
Okay.
So when people are going to and from their cars,
yeah,
they have places to throw things out.
Yeah.
Because we did a very good job. We had very little trash on our property.
Right.
But we still had to do a sweep of the neighborhood. Because people, as they were going to and from their cars, were throwing things in the road, including a full diaper. What kind of monster are you?
Yeah, that was terrible.
And someone apparently puked in the road, not too far from our house, too.
Yeah.
I would love to take credit for that, and I'm going to. Because I'm pretty sure it was something we did in the haunt.
Yeah.
But
it's possible.
So, yeah, I don't know. But all in all, so that's something I do think that we need to improve. Is get more trash cans with liners.
Right.
Just I don't want to have to do this thing every year where we have to pick up all the damn candy wrappers.
We're going to have to anyway.
I know, but it doesn't have to be as big of a thing. This year we got probably damn near a trash bag full.
Yeah.
Or a grocery bag full at least.
Yeah, it was a grocery bag full of
wrappers and candy that
candy
was dropped.
And stuff. Not including the diaper, because that took its own.
That got its own bag.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'd like to improve that. But yeah, we've got a lot of little things we need to talk about and things we can improve. But, you know, at the end of the day, we smashed our record. More than 30% more people than we've ever had.
Yep.
Including the most we've ever done on one night ever.
Yeah.
Hands down. It was safe.
Yeah.
No injuries.
Nope.
Lots of good scares.
Yes.
Everything went smoothly. Only one minor repair and... How do you really complain too much when that was your season?
You don't.
You don't. That's stupid.
Yeah.
So all in all, I'm very, very happy about the way this Halloween, this haunt season went for us. And judging from what we've heard from other haunters, it went similarly for them.
Yes. We do have one sad piece of news that we learned at the end of season.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
We haven't talked about it yet, so we probably need to at least touch on it. We learned that the House of Shock is actually closing. This was their last season. I was glad that we were able to go after we found that out.
Yeah. Well, we found it out after, you know, we went.
Right.
It was kind of weird. We went, and the general manager, we try to go into haunts stealthily.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
But we fail epically every time.
Well, yeah. We're kind of known.
Recognizable, especially locally.
Yeah.
We were able to do it in Atlanta without any problems, but here it didn't work. But we went in, the manager and a couple other people were talking to us.
Right.
And we were getting, like, these weird cryptic clues that it was happening. He's like, yeah, things are going to make some pretty big changes. We need to talk to you after season about the changes. And I'm like, okay, we'll talk after, that's fine. And then we found out the next day that they posted on Facebook that they were closing.
Yep.
I'm sad to see it.
Right.
I'm surprised, to be frank.
Yeah, me too.
I know, we won't go into too many details, but we know that they've had issues.
They have their reasons.
They have valid reasons, and I'm not knocking them. But yeah, it's heartbreaking. But at the same time, this could be a very good thing for New Orleans Haunt, because the House of Shock, as an idea, has been going on 25 years.
Yeah.
That's a long time. That's really good run.
And
that's just it. They have had an amazing, well-deserved run.
Yes.
And I'm hoping that the people who do take over the property and take it over are able to take it in a new direction and do some new things with it.
Yeah.
Because
me too. It's a big opportunity.
It is. It's
huge shoes to fill.
And then that's the thing, is like, we can either look at this as the death of a great haunt, which it is, to be fair, or we can choose to look at it as the opportunity to take what was the House of Shock and make something even greater, make something new.
Right.
And I'm choosing to think of it that way.
Right.
Because
new
the
and
other
exciting.
Way's too damn depressing.
Yeah.
It's just too goddamn depressing. I refuse to think of it that way.
Right.
I wish Ross, Jay, and the others that ran it the best.
Yes.
And wish good luck to the new owners.
Yeah.
I know it will not be named the House of Shock, whatever does reopen.
Right.
And I've heard that they're taking a lot of the props from House of Shock and shipping it to other haunts in the country.
Yeah.
I've heard unconfirmed reports of that. But I hope that whatever takes its place is exciting and new.
Yeah.
All in all, this could be a good thing. But it does mean one very weird, uncomfortable thing for me.
Yeah, it does.
It means, come next season, we will be the longest running haunt in New Orleans.
Yeah. We're the oldest.
We're the oldest. That'll be our 13th season. And yeah, we opened a year before the mortuary, I think it was. Or a year or two before the mortuary.
I think it was two. Yeah.
I don't even know what to do with that information. I just get a little bit of a knot in my stomach every time I say, like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck, 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 fuck.
Yes.
Fuck.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't really know what, if anything, to do with that information, but it is damn frightening. I will say that. That's awkward. But yeah, so but it is also completely true.
Yeah.
So on that note, hope your season was as successful as ours.
Yes.
Hope everything was safe, happy, profitable, and just all in all wonderful. And all in all, we'll be back next week with more Haunt Weekly. We've actually been working on a list of topics, and we're working to get some great guests coming up soon.
Yes.
So you won't have just to listen to the two of us banter. It's going to be more people yes. smarter than us will be joining us very yes. soon.
And we'll have show notes, so we'll sound smarter too.
Yes, hopefully. But yes. But on that note, everyone, once again, follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Haunt Weekly. HauntWeekly.com is the site. tinyurl.com/HauntWeekly is our YouTube channel. Check us out there. Like I said, we try to do interesting things to organize the videos and the podcast so you can do things. And that is also where our 360 walkthrough is going to be posted shortly.
Right.
Also, while you're there, do subscribe and turn on notifications and all that jazz. So yeah, until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly episode number 101, our 2017 season. We will see you guys next time.
I think I'm breaking out in spots. Am I becoming a Dalmatian?
Hopefully. Oh, I just got it. Oh, damn it.